All right, Revelation 22, verses 6 through 10. We're getting near the end of Revelation here. And I fell, entitled this, I fell down to worship the angel. Starting in verse 6, he said to me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things, just like he did back in chapter 19, verse 10. Then said he to me again, see, you do it not, for I am your fellow servant and of your brothers, the prophets. We're prophets of God's. And of them which keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book, worship God. And he said to me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. And he said that 2,000 years ago, and it's just as true today as it was then. When we started these studies in Revelation of Jesus Christ with the first three verses of the chapter of chapter 1 as our guide to unlocking the meaning of the symbols of this revelation of Jesus Christ, I was commanded to do so, commanded not to do so, yeah, was I ever, by one for whom I had the greatest respect. There was a lot of adversity against the concept of reading herein and keeping the things written therein, as stated in the purpose of this revelation of Jesus Christ, within those who were not given to read here, who are given to read here and keep what is written in this prophecy. It was, and it still is, truly war in the heavens. And believe me, that was a time of great spiritual warfare. Here I had a man who I'd been working with for 6 years, from 2000 to 2006. Every day we were on the same page. Everyone thought of us as a team. And then just out of the blue, get a call one day saying, Mike, I've decided you're all wrong about Revelation. I said, what part of it? The whole concept of keeping it. He said that word keep is terero, and it means guard. And he says, so we're supposed to guard against doing the things that are written in this book. And I pointed out to him, you know, that's what Christ had told the rich young ruler when he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Christ said, keep the commandments, terero the commandments. I said, Rare, are you saying that we're not supposed to keep the commandments? Did Christ told that man that not to keep the commandments? Well, it didn't. It's like it didn't even slow him down. It was the most incredible experience to have a person that you thought was on the same page with you for 6 years to all of a sudden just lose all ability to see things in a spiritual sense. But it was all of the Lord. Where was I? There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And boy, is that the truth. Heavenly thinking was just gone. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Now that's exactly what happened with this body of believers. We stayed faithful, the few of us. Most people didn't. Vast majority of the people who were reading BibleTruths.com and Is, Was, and Will Be, they went with the BibleTruths.com group. Very few. As a matter of fact, there wasn't even a link to Is, Was, and Will Be on BibleTruths.com. I had a link to Bible Truths, but there was no link to Is, Was, and Will Be. So, when that happened, it was a very was a real trial. I'll just put it that way. Very trying times, because it hurts when people just turn their back on you. But when it was all over, boy, was it obvious that we had made the right decision, that the Lord had brought us through it. And that's just what it all amounted to. Because it really strengthened, and it was actually a beginning point for growth in this group of believers. We all pulled together. We all understood that we had been through a severe trial. That was an earthquake, such as was not before, and it was a growing experience. Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things he saw. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and terero, keep the things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. It's at hand to keep what we're reading here tonight. In the last chapter of this book, we're plainly told that this is a prophecy which has been given by God to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Not 2,000 years down the road, right then in John's life, this generation will not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. We're not told these things will have no application for the next 2,000 years, but then all of a sudden at the end of 2,000 years, then it'll all have application. In fact, it's emphasized and reiterated that the time is at hand. We're informed that this is a book which has been signified by his angel to his servant John, and then we're told to keep the things that are written there, for the time is at hand. We believe those words. We have handled this entire study with those instructions. Held close is our guide to our application of every word. Only if we acknowledge that it is we who are to read here and keep the things which are written therein, and never attempt to make those words either the good or the evil to apply to someone else, somewhere else, or at some other time than right now in this life, will the words of this prophecy have any personal benefit for the person who is reading the words of this revelation of Jesus Christ within us? This is not to say that the person who is reading the words of this revelation of Jesus Christ must be in both the first and the second resurrection. That's not what's being said at all. If you're in the first resurrection at the beginning of the thousand-year reign, then you cannot be also in the second resurrection, which is the second death. You can't die in both of those deaths, which occurs after the thousand-year reign. We have acknowledged that the beast, the false prophet, and the great red dragon, with all their weaknesses and false doctrines, are within each of us. And we have acknowledged that we cannot enter into the temple of God in heaven until the seven fire and brimstone plagues of the seven angels have been fulfilled in our own lives. If we do endure those fiery trials in this present age, then the person who's reading the words of this revelation of Jesus Christ must read here and keep the fact that he that overcomes in this present time shall not be hurt of the second death, the lake of fire. That's part of keeping and reading and hearing these words. Believe what it says. And here's what it says. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcomes in this present age shall not be hurt of the second death. In other words, he that dies first won't have to die in the second group. Revelation 26, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verse 14, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That's when most people die to their old man in the lake of fire. And that lake of fire is, well, anyway, it's within those who are called the Lamb, the bride, the Lamb's wife, yeah, the New Jerusalem. They are the ones who have the fire and who are at home in the fire. With that same faith in the words of this prophecy, which has been our guide throughout these studies, we will now examine verses 6 through 10. We'll begin by looking at verses 6 through 10 and comparing them, those 6 and 7, and comparing them to the verses in Revelation 1 through 3. Here's Revelation 22, 6 and 7. He said to me, "These sayings are faithful and true. The Lord of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Again, in the very last chapter of this revelation of Jesus Christ, we were clearly instructed as to how this prophecy is intended to be approached. At the beginning and the end, we're told the same thing, approached and understood. Let's read again verses 1 through 3 of chapter 1. Take careful note that the words of verse 7 in this 22nd chapter are the very same instructions given in verse 3 of chapter 1. Revelation 1 through 3. 1 through 3. Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it. It doesn't mean what it says. It means what it means. It's signified by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all the things that he saw. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep the things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. Same thing it said in chapter 22. Revelation 1 tells us God gave Jesus Christ this revelation to show it to his servants. And we're also told this revelation is things which must shortly come to pass. Shortly, not 2,000 years down the road. We're told this revelation is signified by his angel. And we're told to read here and keep the things which are written there, and because the time is at hand. Here in chapter 22, we're reminded the exact same instruction. We're told the sayings are faithful and true, but here it is revealed that Christ himself was the Lord God of the holy prophets who sent his angel to show his servants things that must shortly be done. And it's the same Lord God of the holy prophets who declares, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book." The only real difference between the instructions in the first chapter of the last and the last chapter is that the first chapter informs us that the revelation of Jesus Christ is signified by his angels, while the last chapter reaffirms that what is written here is faithful and true, which is just another way of saying, "My words shall not pass away," as Christ said in Matthew 24, 32 through 35. In every other way, they're the exact same instructions were given informing us how to approach this prophecy. Verse 8, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things." It's Christ alone who opens our eyes to see the things of the Spirit, which are written in the words of this prophecy. The fact we're told that John twice attempted to worship the angel reveals that we all tend to place too much emphasis upon the messenger instead of the giver of the message, in other words, Christ. Nevertheless, it is Christ who sends his angel to show us these things. Revelation 1:1, revelation of Jesus Christ. It's Christ showing us these things, which God gave him to show to his servants the things which must shortly be done. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant, John. John signifies each of us. He's one of us, our brothers who keep the sayings of the prophecy, our fellow servant and brothers who keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Revelation 22:6, "And he said to me, these things are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly be done." We saw back in chapter 17 and 19 that this angel is one of the seven angels which had the seven last plagues. One of the angels which had the seven last plagues. Revelation 17:1, "There came one of the angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, come here, I'll show you the judgment of the great whore which sits on many waters." In verse 9 of chapter 21, "There came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come here, I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." So whether it's the judgment of the great whore or the bride, the Lamb's wife, both are revealed to us by one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, which fill up the wrath of God. This helps us to understand why God wants us to know that those who speak often one to another and think upon his name are the instrument he is using to reveal that Christ is abiding within us. I had a conversation on the phone just a couple days ago, with a man in Memphis, Tennessee, former worldwider, and he asked me, how do we know that we've got the truth? Same question I've heard so many times before. And I just told him what Christ said. Christ said, John 8, verse 30 through 31 through 32, you believe what I say and do the things I say, and you shall know the truth. You'll know it. And the truth will set you free. And Christ said, my sheep know my voice. They don't guess about whether what they're hearing is the truth or not. They can tell. The Holy Spirit gives them the ability to tell, wow, that is truth. And then we've got the other scripture that says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So yes, I am one of God's elect. I'm not the only one. This group is not the only group. But those who are God's elect know that they know the voice of their shepherd. Then they that feared the Lord. This is Malachi 3, verses 16 through 18. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord, in the day that I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. You can discern if you've got the mind of Christ between him that serves God and then and them that serve him that serves him not. Christ did not go around wondering, I wonder if I really am the Son of God. The devil wanted him to think like that. If you're the Son of God, do this, do that. Christ didn't have to turn the stones into bread. He knew who he was. He didn't have to cast himself down off the pinnacle of the temple. He knew who he was. It's and that's the mind we should have. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It is these seven angels who have the seven vials of the last plagues, who are granted to return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. Just listen, and you'll know. Don't go by miracles. Don't go by signs and wonders. Those things are given to the beast to do so he can deceive people with them. He deceives them with the miracles that he's given to perform in the sight of men. He can call down fire from heaven. Spiritually speaking, that means he can preach powerful sermons. Powerful sermons. And change the lives of many people. Many people will say in that day, Lord, we've cast out demons and done many wonderful works in your name. And he will say, depart from me, you self-righteous people. I never knew you. Self-righteous because they will not do what Christ says to do. Love your enemy. Come on. The Lord doesn't really mean that. Well, maybe if they're, your national enemy, but not your international enemy. You got to fight for God and country. Maybe if they're fellow church members who are doing each other wrong, but not if it's a thief or a rapist that comes into your house. You step on him like a cockroach. That's what great men of God say. Revelation 22, verse 9. Let's consider again who these seven angels signify. Then said he unto me, see, you do it not, for I am your fellow servant and of your brothers, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. In other words, that angel signifies you and me. Worship God. The seven angels are with the seven vials of the seven last plagues of the wrath of God, signifying our fellow servants, each of you, who keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book, while we are twice admonished against worshiping the angels, which show us these things, we're also still told this concerning those among us who labor in the word. There's no contradiction here. It's just the narrow way that we have to walk. 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that will rule well. Rule doesn't mean rule. It means to nourish. Rule well, be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. We have no dominion over your faith. That is, as it is with all things, we must strive to be balanced in our regard to those who labor in the word and in doctrine among us. There are some who give them of themselves selflessly, working in the word and doctrine, who are worthy of double honor. It's through their efforts that these things are being shown to many all around the world, for that we highly esteem them, but we want to never place them in the place of our Lord, who is worthy of our worship. And who once again tells us, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Now, how often do we see these words, the time is at hand, in the New Testament? The phrase just happens to appear 21 times in the New Testament. This entire phrase, the time is at hand, is found again in chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that keeps, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep the things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. When we are granted to connect these statements together with phrases like the things which must shortly come to pass and things which must shortly be done, both at the beginning and the end of this prophecy, then the urgency of our calling should begin to become obvious to those who are being called to be chosen and faithful to the end. Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show unto his servants things that must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his servant, by his angel, unto his servant John. And he said to me, these things are faithful. This is 22:6. These things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants things that must shortly be done. Now let's take note that John is commanded to seal not the sayings of this book, and compare these words to the instructions given to Daniel concerning the prophecies he was given for those of his day. Daniel 12:4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, that, like all things in the scripture, has an inward and an outward application. Knowledge is being increased. I mean, we've got Strong's, Wigram's, we've got everything at our fingertip, and now we have it in a computer form, on software. And it's just incredible how we can search the Word of God. The apostles didn't have that. They had something as good or better, which was the Holy Spirit, but they did not have the means of comparing scriptures the way we have. Matter of fact, they didn't even have the New Testament until right at the end of the apostolic era there. So we are blessed way beyond what any man has ever been blessed in these days we live in. Of course, it's you know, some of the most trying times of all time, but at the same time, the blessings are enormous also. The natural man takes these words to mean natural, physical, scientific knowledge. And believe me, that has, I've mentioned time and again how my grandfather moved out west back in the, well, my father was about 6 years old when they moved out there. And he was born in 1914. So it was early 1900s when they moved out to Montana to homestead 640 acres. Government was giving it away to those that would come and just live on it. And at the time, there were no cars. No trains, no jets, no airplanes. No refrigerators, no electricity. Look where we are today. Look where we are today. So knowledge has been increased in the outward sense as well as the spiritual sense. To the man of the spirit, this is a promise to his knowledge of the things of the spirit, to increase his knowledge of things of the spirit, and have his knowledge of God and Christ, whom he has sent, increased to us in the time of the end. 1 Corinthians 2:20, 2:9 and 10. As it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither is it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them, the things that he has prepared for them that love him, to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I want to read it like this. The Holy Ghost teaches comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's how he teaches. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. It's not that he would like to, but just he can't. He cannot. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. If Christ is not in you, you will never understand his word. When is this time of the end which Daniel speaks of? When is it? Here are those upon whom the ends of the world are come. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. Now, all these things happen to them for examples. And that word in samples is typos, types. They're types of us. And that's what it says in verse 6 of this same chapter, or verse 5 of the same chapter. And they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. The ends of the world are come upon those who are in Christ. So the Old Testament prophets were told that their prophecies were not even for themselves in this life. They were told plainly to shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. For whom then were all their prophecies? To whom were they ministering if not to themselves or the people of their time? Here's the plain scripture answering that question. And I was blown away when I first saw this. I couldn't believe my eyes. 1 Peter 1, verses 9 through 12. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, not to them, but to us. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, not precede, follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, look at that, not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported to you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. There were many great works done by Christ through many Old Testament men of God. Nevertheless, we're plainly told that God had something better for us. Hebrews 11:39. These all the great men mentioned in Hebrews 11 there, great men of faith of the Old Testament, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they without us, now it doesn't say us without them, it says they without us, because we will receive it without them for over 1,000 years, that they without us should not be made perfect. They without us should not be made perfect. It doesn't say we without them should not be made perfect because we will be perfected 1,000 years ahead of them. In our next study, Lord willing, we'll cover these verses, verses 11 through 15. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. This has been something we were supposed to be doing for the past 2,000 years. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work, as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they which that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Not just anyone gets to do that. People in the lake of fire don't get to do that. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whoever makes a lie. That's our study for today.